Our Old Testament reading this morning is in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. We are going to take a 1 week break from the book of Romans as we are anticipating and looking forward to the public recognition of new members in our church. It's useful for us to pause and think about membership. Why is it that we insist people become members of the Church of Jesus Christ? So we're going to do that this morning, and our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 43 tells us of the day when the Lord will gather his people under one head from the north and the south and the east and the west. This is a prophecy concerning the days of the New Testament when the Lord Jesus himself was resurrected and ascended to be the head of his body, the church. And now through the ministry of the church, God has been and continues to gather people from all corners of the world. So let's read Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7 this morning. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. If you will open in your Bibles to the book of Acts, we're going to read this morning Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. I will read through verse 47, but just note that our sermon is going to be based on Acts 2, verse 47. So that final verse of this chapter. We are excited this morning to publicly recognize the membership of one of our newest member. And I think it's fitting this morning that we come to the Word of God to consider membership, as I've already noted. And the book of Acts, of course, is a wonderful book that recounts for us how it is that the early church set about to fulfill the Great Commission. That commission that the Lord Jesus said, go into all the earth and preach the gospel and teach them and baptize and disciple all nations. And we see how that is practically fulfilled in the book of Acts. And of course, the book of Acts is a part of our own history as the Church of Jesus Christ. It is due, in fact, to the missionary efforts of these apostles in this early church, that the word of God was spread to the corners of the world, and in many ways why we exist here today in Winchester, Kansas. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 4, starting in verse 14 through verse 47. Hear the word of God. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the account of these remarkable providences, this wonderful history where you reveal yourself to be the God who works in history. That even as Jesus Christ has been ascended to the right hand of the Father, that there he continues to minister, there he continues to meet the needs of sinners, that the church would be built up in every way. Grant us open and receptive minds and hearts as we come to your word this morning. And let no false thing be spoken against you or your immortal witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to forego this morning any lengthy introduction, only to say that what we have in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and especially the verse that we're considering this morning, is really the fruit of the apostolic ministry. Not only did we see in the earlier part of Acts chapter 2 that glorious revival on the day of Pentecost, where we are told 3,000 souls were swept into the kingdom, but we also see in these closing verses of this chapter the gradual and the steady growth of the church in its infant days. We do long as a church and as the people of God to see a day that is like Pentecost. We long to see in our own day and in our own generation a glorious work where the gates of heaven are thrown open and thousands come to repentance. But we also as a church need to be content. The Lord rarely works in that way. The Lord does work in a gradual and steady way of adding daily to his church. And we need to be content and rejoice where we see the Lord at work. Well, this morning I want to take verse 47, particularly that last sentence, and focus on the major words of the verse. And so first we'll look at the word Lord. Secondly, added to their number. Thirdly, day by day, and finally, those who were being saved. So first then, look with me at verse 47. We read, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So the first thing that I want you to notice from Acts chapter 2, verse 47, this is a work of the Lord. Luke, the author of Acts, wants to be very sure that he establishes that fact. It is the Lord who is working. Now, I remember as a young child looking at the book of Acts and wondering, why on earth is this book called the book of Acts? What does that mean? And it wasn't until I was a little older and I was introduced to the fact that Acts in some ways is an abbreviated title. That the full title of this book, as it's been passed down through the church and tradition, is The Acts of the Apostles. That is the glorious ministry that the apostles set themselves to after the ascension of Jesus Christ. But maybe this morning it would be more proper for us to see that the book of Acts is not first and foremost a recorded history of the Acts of the Apostles, but it is the Acts of Jesus Christ. Not Christ as he was in the days of his earthly ministry, where his teaching and his life were marked every hour with suffering and with sorrow and with brokenness. How the Lord ministered to people in a state of humiliation, but the book of Acts is really a record of what the ascended Lord Jesus is doing on the stage of the world. Christ in all of his glory. Christ as the one, as we read from the Apostle Peter as he preached on the day of Pentecost. This Christ who was killed by the hands of lawless men. This Christ who was buried in a tomb, but this Christ whom death itself could not hold, and so the bands of death were loosed, and Christ was resurrected, and he ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father until the Father should make all his enemies subdued to him. That's what the book of Acts is about. The ascended and glorious Lord Jesus. It is a marvelous display of how Jesus Christ works all people and all nations and all powers to bend to His sovereign will, that His gospel might go forth to all the corners of the world. Before Jesus ascended in chapter 1, He tells His apostles, "I am going away, but you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea to Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." The Lord is at work. And Luke wants us to know that. This is a work of Jesus. But look for a moment at the interesting contrast between the work of the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost and the work of the Lord Jesus in these closing verses. The work of Jesus in these closing verses, this gradual day-by-day work, isn't, we might say, as visible as the work that He did on the day of Pentecost. In fact, never in the history of the church has the church ever seen again a day like the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit flexed His omnipotence. Never in all the revivals of the world have we seen a day like the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls are swept into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. No, the work that the Lord carries on day by day, it's not an ostentatious display. It's not something that's done as visibly or with as many signs and as many wonders as we behold on that glorious day of Pentecost. In fact, to some people, the way that the Lord works day by day is really seems a little humdrum. It seems a little boring. How is it that the Lord is working day by day in His church? Well, there's no glitter to it. There's no Pentecostal explosion, if we can use those words. But we see in these verses that the way in which the Lord is working is really very ordinary. It is really very ordinary. How is He working? Well, He's working through those who meet together. And what are they doing? Well, they are those who are committed to the apostolic teaching. Or more literal translation there in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. The Lord is working to build His church through fellowship. The Lord is working to build His church through the breaking of bread, through the prayers, through the daily interaction of the saints of Jesus Christ. That's how God is working. And my friends, if you begin to read some of the books on the church growth movement, you're not going to see these things featured very prominently. How is the Lord at work? The Lord is at work through teaching and doctrine, through fellowship, through the breaking of bread, and through prayers. That's how the Lord is working. But many people will look at that and they'll think, well, that's just so ordinary. That's so humdrum. We don't want the Lord to be working in that way. And so many churches begin to focus all of their time and all of their energy to find other ways in which the Lord will work. And they think we need to add glitter and we need to add gold and we need to contextualize until we're blue in the face. And we need to be doing this and we need to be doing that. But Luke shows us so plainly here that the Lord Jesus is at work through the ordinary. Through very ordinary means, Jesus is accomplishing the purpose for which He came. And it might not be the priority of many. And to a watching world, it may seem plain and it may seem boring and it may seem humdrum, but the Lord is at work and it is a work that only He can do. And so as a church, as we give ourselves to the teaching of the apostles, as we give ourselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to praying together, brothers and sisters, we need to see this is the way that the Lord works. And it may seem so small in our eyes, does the prophet Zechariah ask, who will despise a day of small things? My favorite season is almost upon us. The snow may set us back a little bit, but spring is nearing. And we all know that the bud of spring, the buds of promise, they need what to grow? They need sunlight. They need rain to grow. Ordinary things. But as that rain and as that sun continue, those buds give way to full fruition and the beauty of summer. And you see, it's that way with the church as well. The Lord is at work through ordinary means. But this is how He works, and this is His purpose as the ascended Lord Jesus. And we need to be more convinced of it. We need to believe it. That as we receive the teaching, as we enjoy fellowship, and as we pray together, the Lord is stirring and He is accomplishing something glorious. Well, what work is it then that the Lord is accomplishing through these rather ordinary means? Well, that brings me to my second point. I want you to look at the word, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We see that the Lord is at work, and what is He doing? He is adding to their number. He is adding, some of your translations may read, to the church. Now, it's very true that sometimes people come into the church and they are not added by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when Satan adds to the church. In the book of Jude, we read of those wicked men who crept in unaware in order to sow their seeds of lawlessness and license to sin. Other times, men take it upon themselves to add themselves to the church. They have no right, they have no place in the body of God, in the household of faith. They don't believe, they're living in unrepentant sin. They want to add themselves as a show. They want to add themselves to look good, to keep up an image. But they have no place in the church of Jesus Christ. Well, Luke wants us to know that's not what is going on here. The Lord is adding to their number. We sing in the 127th Psalm that unless the Lord builds an house, the builders build in vain. We read in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, I planted, but Apollos watered. God gave the growth. You see, that's what Jesus is doing. Through these ordinary means, the Lord is at work, and what He's doing is He is building His church. And that is a fundamental and very important point that we become convinced of and that we see from the text this morning. Jesus is not at work saving one here and saving one there and saving them so that they can walk out into the world and say, well, it's me and my Bible. I'm a lone wolf. I'm by myself. Jesus saved me. That's not what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saving and He is adding to their number. And we need to see here something principal about the work of Jesus. That Jesus doesn't only save us, but Jesus is in the business of building His church. Brothers and sisters, we need to make it our ambition to see the salvation of souls. But we must never stop there. And we must never stop there because Jesus doesn't stop there either. And if our Master seeks to add to His church, then we too need to seek to build up the church. If Jesus seeks growth for His church, then we must do likewise, brothers and sisters, as a congregation in our various ministries. Let's labor and strive to see women and men added to our numbers. To see the church built up, to see the church grow in every single way possible. To see the church that Jesus Himself promised, the gates of hell shall never prevail, to see that church gathered together and increased. As that hymnist wrote so long ago, those words that resound so true, we long to see thy churches full. That all the chosen race may with one voice and heart and soul sing thy redeeming grace. I want to ask you this morning, is that your desire? Is it your desire to see people added to the church? Is it your desire to see the church grow, to have the mind of our Savior? Is it true? Do you have friends and family who remain in the unnumbered host of the church? Is it your desire to see them not only saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, but saved into the church and into fellowship and into communion with brothers and sisters who profess the same faith? Don't mistake what Luke is saying. Don't mistake what I'm saying to think that all the church is interested in is bench warmers. That all we want is a bunch of people in the church. And if we just get more bodies in here, well, that's answering the call of Christ. No, Christ is adding to his church. Christ is bringing people in who are lively and vital to the ministry and the body and not mere bench warmers and spot fillers. Is that your desire? And if we turn the gazing eye inward, can I ask you this morning, is that true of yourself? Do you see yourself as one who has been added to the church? Or do you just view yourself as one who, I just go to church because that's what I'm supposed to do? Do you see yourself as a vital member of a congregation? Or do you just come to fill a spot? Maybe talk with a few people and have a good time. We see the Lord at work. And what he is doing is he is adding to their numbers. But thirdly, this morning, don't let it escape your attention what Luke goes on to say. That the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day. If I can be so bold this morning, it's a serious deficiency in our own time that more people are not being added to the church of Jesus Christ. And I don't just mean here. In my last 10 years, I unfortunately have only seen two people added to the church by profession of faith, by true conversion. People who weren't born and raised in the church. In 10 years, in the four churches that I've been involved in, the only thing I've seen, and I rejoice in this, is covenant children making profession of faith, except for two adults who came into the church, who were added to the number, who didn't grow up in the church. No, today we are not seeing much of this day by day work. What we are seeing is day by day people leaving the church. So much so, to such an extent that sometimes we wonder, is the Lord still working? Is the Lord still adding to our numbers day by day, or is the world detracting from the church day by day? Are sinners forsaking the church day by day? Are people going on in their unrepentant sin so that they have no place in the body of Christ and they're leaving in the masses? Are our children being raised only to be sent into the world to be devoured by the wolves? And we begin to wonder, where is the Lord? Is he at work? Is he adding to his church? Why isn't he adding day by day? Brothers and sisters, it is a serious deficiency. But I don't think it's a deficiency on the Lord's side. I have little doubt that the Lord is adding to his church day by day. That for every 24 hours that pass, the gospel tidings are falling upon receptive hearts made ready by the Spirit of God. I have very little doubt that day by day, between the time that the sun rises and the sun sets, Jesus Christ is adding to his church. That every single day since the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, right up until our own, in somewhere, in some place, souls are being won by the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the worthy blood of Jesus. And why do I think that? I think that because I believe in the power of the cross. And I believe in the power of the worthy blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And I believe that the kingdom of the gospel is pressing forth and it is making headway, and the kingdom of darkness cannot withstand it. somewhere in some place, if this small church in Jerusalem, this small and rather uninfluential church, could be added to day by day, then I have no doubt that the universal church of Jesus Christ that spreads itself throughout the four corners of this world is being added to day by day. And God is getting the glory for it. Is it happening in China? We read with joy about the conversions in China and multitudes are coming to faith. Is it happening in Pakistan and in the heart of Islam and the Muslim faith? Are people being converted and won to Jesus Christ? I have no doubt about it. Is it happening in the South Sudan where missionaries are expending their energies for the sake of the gospel? Is it happening in the United States? Is it happening in Kansas? I believe it is. I believe the gospel is going forth and it is bearing fruit in our own generation, whether or not we see it. I believe it with all my heart that every day is a day of grace. But I would see, brothers and sisters, and I think this is a desire of yours, if the Lord is willing, that we would see souls added day by day in Winchester, Kansas. To see the gospel leave these four walls. To see our friends and our neighbors down the street and in the surrounding areas come to faith in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something, that's never going to begin to happen until we begin to seek the salvation of sinners day by day. The Lord's not going to add to our numbers until we day by day are seeking to have our numbers added to and to see souls won for the sake of Christ. It's not a work that's going to begin until we all, and I'm preaching to myself here as much as I'm preaching to anybody else, until we begin to have the courageous fearlessness that comes through prayer. What was it that the early church gave themselves to? It was for prayer. And what did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. In Acts chapter 4, they come together and they pray and they say, "O Lord, do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined, but grant your servants to speak with boldness." If we would see the church added to day by day, then we need to seek to add to the church day by day. Through the fearlessness that comes through prayer, through the conviction that our God is mighty to save, and through the assurance that the gospel that was as fit for Jerusalem sinners is as fit for the citizens of Winchester and Nortonville and Valley Falls and Jefferson County. And to be convinced, as we've been considering in Romans 1, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. O Lord, may we repent of our failure to seek souls. And may you revive this congregation to be one that seeks the church to be added to day by day. Well, finally, that's not all that Luke has to say. Notice finally what he says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." He was adding to their numbers those who were being saved. Luke is telling us here that people are believing in Jesus. That men and women, they're largely a missionary field at this time, and the people that they were ministering to, most likely men and women, adults, were confessing faith in Jesus Christ, and they were being added to the church. And this leads us to an all-important point that we need to get fixed in our own minds, in our own day, for our own generation. Look at the way that Luke words this. "The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Brothers and sisters, the biblical concept of salvation includes, it is not limited to, but it includes being added to the number of the church. The Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Let me just say that again. The biblical concept of salvation includes, it is not limited to, but it includes being added to the number of the church. That's what those who were being saved did. Those in whom the gospel was bearing fruit, those who were turning in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were professing faith in Him were being added to the church. Those who were being saved were coming together for worship. Those who were being saved were coming together for instruction in the apostolic doctrine. Those who were being saved were fellowshipping one with another. Those who were being saved went into the synagogues day by day. Those who were being saved committed themselves to praying together. And that's why our Confession of Faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, uses this verse in the chapter on the church to say that ordinarily there is no salvation outside of the visible church. That is a point, that is a truth that is disregarded by so many people today. That ordinarily salvation comes through the visible church. That to be apart from the church of Jesus Christ means you are apart from Jesus Christ. But to be in Jesus and to have faith in Him and to profess Him means that you are one who is being added to the church. You are one who has been added to the church. I want to be very clear that we don't think church membership saves. There are a lot of people who think that. My aunt recently died a couple weeks ago. I didn't know her very well. I didn't go to her funeral. But my mother did. And this was a woman who had no part in Jesus Christ. She had no fruit in her life. She was an awful person. And at the funeral, the person that was presiding said, "We can rejoice with great joy because she was a member of a church." And that's where our confidence is. When she was 7 years old, she became a member of a church. And regardless of how she lived her life for the next 7 decades, it didn't matter. She had been a member of the church. And there are many people who think that becoming a member of the church means that you're saved. And that's not what I'm saying. That's not what Luke is saying. Salvation comes by Jesus alone. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But what Luke is getting us to see, and this becomes apparent throughout the whole of the book of Acts, is that becoming a member of the church is a natural consequence of salvation. That's what saved people do. They become members of the church. Let me illustrate this in a way that I think will make sense. Just because a man and a woman live together under the same roof does not mean they're married. You don't look at cohabitation and say, "Oh, by that fact alone, this is a married couple." We don't believe that. We believe they need to go to the state. And if you're a Christian, you need to come to the church and be married. Just because you live under the same roof does not automatically imply that you are married. But when you are married, one of the natural consequences of marriage is that you live together. Can you imagine? I don't want to imagine. Can you imagine a marriage where you don't live together? You don't live under the same roof. You don't work together, you don't spend time together, you don't have fellowship together, but she lives here, he lives here, and there's a world of difference between us. That's not a very good concept of marriage. Living together doesn't affect the marital relationship, but those who are married, naturally, a natural consequence of becoming married is that you live together. And that's what Luke is saying. In saying that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Luke is saying this is what saved people do. They get added to the number of the church. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we view the church as necessary. If the church isn't necessary, let's just quit. Let's stop meeting together. Let's stop gathering together. Let's stop having profession of faith class and having people come and stand here and be publicly recognized for joining the church. But you see, that's not the biblical concept, is it? The biblical concept is that the church and membership in the church is not an option for those who are being saved. That it's the natural result of being saved, I'm going to join the church. Scripture knows nothing. Search its pages and you will find it nowhere to find an idea of a non-joiner. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't want anything to do with the church. I'm a Christian, but I don't need to join the church. I'm a Christian, but I'm just one who enjoys, I don't like the institutional church. That's not part of what I am. Search the scriptures and you'll search them in vain to find that type of attitude. And what that means, and I want you to hear this morning, what that means is that a non-churched Christian is practically a contradiction of terms. That those who are being saved are added to the number of the church of Jesus Christ. My friends, what a grand truth this is. What a glorious thing the Church of Jesus Christ is. It's a collection, a gathering, a fellowship of those who are being saved. Those in whom the Lord is at work through a very ordinary process. It's not a hall of fame for shining trophies. So we often hear, but it's a hospital for the sick. It's a refuge for the broken. It's a haven for the weary. It is a home for those who are being saved. That's what Luke is pointing us to. Luke is showing us in this verse the gradual and the steady growth of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not a Pentecostal explosion. It's not thousands of souls being swept in a moment's time. But it's the gradual, day by day, month by month, year by year work of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. And what is He doing? He is adding to His church. He is adding to His church those who are being saved. And that's why we rejoice today. That's why we rejoice that two of our young people have come to stand to make profession of faith, have been examined by the elders, have been received into membership, and now, at least this morning, we'll be publicly recognizing one of them. We rejoice because it is not a small thing. It is evidence and it is proof that the Lord Jesus, though He's ascended to the right hand, is still at work in our world. That the Lord Jesus Christ is saving souls and He is building His church and He is adding to our numbers. It is a wonderful thing when our covenant children grow up to make profession of faith in Jesus Christ and be added to our number. And so we rejoice. And yet, even in our rejoicing, Winchester, may I encourage you to take this verse and make it the passion of our ministry, to make it the passion of our teaching and our fellowship and our interaction with one another, to labor and to strive, yes, to see souls won for Jesus Christ, but to see them brought into the household of God, to see them added to the number of those who are being saved. This is the way the Lord Jesus works. Let us be thankful. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the way in which the gospel has gone forth in all ages and in all times to not only win souls for the sake of Christ, but to be added to the number of the church, that since that first fall of our parents into sin, Your church has continued. And since that glorious promise of Matthew 16, Your church has gone on from strength to strength, never standing to tremble at the gates of hell, but to triumph over the darkness, to pull down strongholds, and to see men and women and children won for Christ and added to that number of those who are being saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.